We're going to continue the lesson this morning on the judgment for the Christian. And we've looked at three different judgments that a Christian will face. Looked at the first judgment, which was the judgment of on Calvary. And that was a judgment for our sin, where God dealt with our sin. And He dealt with that on Calvary. Lord Jesus Christ. We dealt with the second judgment, which is the self-judgment of a Christian. It's a judgment as a son, where we're chastened of the Lord and we're told to judge ourselves. And there's an opportunity to get right with the Lord. And now we're going to begin to look at the judgment seat of Christ, which is the third judgment. That's the judgment as a servant. The judgment as a servant. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. The Bible said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Verse number 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." And so this judgment seat of Christ is not something that is to be taken lightly. And here we read that we know the terror of the Lord, and that's in reference to the judgment seat of Christ. And it's a reference to things done in the body, and we're dealing with somebody after salvation. We don't have to continually get saved over and over and over again. Whenever you mess up, you don't have to get saved again. That was dealt with on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ paid the price there on the cross, and God dealt with our sins on Jesus Christ there on the cross. And so I wanted to, before I continue on in the judgment seat of Christ, I wanted to go over something briefly this morning. There are seven judgments found in the Bible. I'm not going to go over all seven of these judgments, but I realize that we are our church is located in Blount County. We're on the Blount County, Jefferson County line, and Blount County is full of amillennialists. And some of you might not know what that means, and it means that they don't believe in the tribulation, in the rapture of the church before the tribulation. They believe in one general judgment at the end of this entire thing. And so that they lump all the judgments together, the judgment seat of Christ. Matter of fact, the New Bibles in some places, and I believe it's Romans, actually changes the judgment seat of Christ to the judgment of God, the judgment seat of God, and to make it appear that it's the great white throne judgment. They believe that everybody's going to go at one general judgment and be dealt with it all at one time. But that's not the case. There's actually seven judgments in the Bible. The first of the judgments is the one that took place on Calvary. That was where God judged and dealt with your sin and the sin of the entire world on His Son, Jesus Christ. All right. And I'll just briefly mention all these before we go on. But I don't want it to be confused with as we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want it to be confused with the first judgment, which was the judgment for sin, or be confused with the great white throne judgment. And these are separate judgments that is going to take place. And if you're saved, you'll be at the great white throne judgment, but you won't be the one on trial. And thank the Lord for it. Amen. Matter of fact, you'll be one of the ones judging at the great white throne judgment. Know ye not that you'll judge angels? There's a judgment for angels, and you're going to be some of the ones helping judge the angels. All right. I know that might be getting a little deep for some, and we'll get into some of that later. The first of these judgments is Calvary. The second is a judgment as a son for a Christian. That's the self-judgment. That's where you judge yourselves and where God chastens you. And it's your life as a Christian, as a son. The third judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the one we're dealing with this morning. So those three, if you're saved in the church age, those are the three judgments that affect you. One, that Christ paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. Two, that you judge yourself as a Christian, that God chastens those whom He loves. And thirdly, the judgment seat of Christ, where you'll give an account of everything done in your body after salvation, whether good or bad. All right. The fourth judgment in scriptures is the judgment of the Jewish nation. They're going to go through a 7-year tribulation where God is going to deal with them. The fifth judgment is the judgment of the nations. The sixth judgment is the judgment of fallen angels. The seventh judgment is the judgment of the unsaved dead. And that's going to take place at the white throne judgment. So there's seven major judgments in the Word of God. Now, there's other judgments we find in the Bible. There's individual judgments where God judged the sins of man back in the Old Testament when he flooded the earth during Noah's day. He judged Lot. He opened the earth and swallowed a family up. There's different individual judgments that God had, but there are seven major judgments in the Word of God. So judgment number one, the judgment at Calvary. I'm just going to give you this brief outline of each one of them. I don't want to cause confusion, but I also don't want anybody to be confused as we're going through here that there are different judgments. Judgment number one, the judgment at Calvary. The subject was Christ bearing our sins. The time was AD 33. The place is Calvary. The basis was the law. The result was the physical death of Jesus Christ. God's holiness had to be satisfied. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. Well, Jesus Christ took our place to pay for sin. He died on the cross of Calvary. Judgment number two is the judgment as a son for a Christian. That's the subject of that judgment is the saint himself. The time, it's any time, every day. The place, anywhere. The basis has to do with sonship. The result is forgiveness and cleansing. This is where you have to confess your sins every day. Amen? Yeah. Best thing to do before you lay your head on pillow at night is to make sure you're right with God. If you sin during the day and you know you messed up and you had a bad attitude, then you ask God to forgive you and you ask Him to forgive your sins that day. And man, just keep a short account with God. That's the best thing to do. That's judgment number two. You do not have to confess your sins to be saved. If you confess your sins to be saved, you're going to hell. Amen. You don't have to confess your... Some of y'all are looking at me funny. You don't got to confess... I guarantee you didn't cover them all the day you got saved. If you got to confess your sins to be saved, man, I'm in trouble because I don't remember all of them. And I got saved at 10. I had a shorter account than some of y'all. You know what I had to do? I had to realize I was a sinner and He was a Savior. And I had to repent, which means a change of heart and a change of mind, and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I know You're a Savior. And Father, I'm putting my faith and trust in what You did on the cross of Calvary, and He saved all my sins. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful you didn't have to confess all your sins to get saved? Amen. But as a child of God, the judgment as a son, you confess your sins to stay right with God.
Amen.
So before salvation, it's all taken care of. Then after salvation, now, if you sin and mess up, you get that thing right with God. And I'm thankful for His mercy and long-suffering, aren't you? But you get the thing right with God. All right, number three, the judgment as a the judgment seat of Christ. That's the third major judgment in the Bible. That the subject of that is the saints being judged for their works. You're not judged for your works to be saved. Amen? But after salvation, you're going to be judged for your works. We're going to look at those verses here in a minute. All of your works, whether good or bad, are going to go through a fire and be judged. Amen.
Amen.
They say, you know, there's people that say they're saved. They say, don't judge me. Well, God's going to judge every bit of your works.
Right.
And if you say, well, God looks at the heart and not on the outward. And God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart. You say, well, I intended on. Well, when you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, say, Lord, I intended on doing all these things. And Lord, I didn't intend on sinning.
Yeah.
Amen. The intentions are not gonna pass that day. So the judgment seat of Christ is the saints being judged for their works. The time is at the second advent of Christ. The place it'll take place is in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And the basis of this judgment is the believer's works, the results are rewards and crowns for the faithful, and loss of crowns and loss of rewards for others. And these are the verses we're going to get into here in just a minute. The fourth judgment is the judgment upon the nation of Israel during the Great Tribulation. This is one reason I know And I believe we are not going through the tribulation. That judgment, the tribulation time period, is a judgment for the nation of Israel. For the physical Jew, for the literal Jew, it's a judgment for them. It's not for us.
All the time of Jacob's trouble.
Exactly. Time of Jacob's trouble. There's all kind of phrases and words throughout the Bible. There's a lot that deals with this. All right. The subject is the Jewish nation. And I've got verses for all these. And sometime, if time allows, we may go over in more detail some of these judgments. The time is during the Great Tribulation, which the book of Jeremiah calls the time of Jacob's trouble. The place is Jerusalem and Palestine. That's going to be the epicenter of all this stuff taking place. The reason why all Bible believers keep saying, hey, just keep your eye on Jerusalem, keep your eye on Israel to find out what's happening next, because this is where this thing's going to wind up. And it's happening quickly.
Amen.
There's stuff happening every single day in Israel that's leading up to this. Every day something new's happening leading up to this time. All right. The basis is their rejection of Christ. And again, I got verses on this too. The results will be the conversion of the nation of Israel when they will accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah.
Amen.
All right. That's why God's dealing with the nation of Israel during this time of great tribulation. This is the new covenant that God will put out with the house of Israel and Judah. All right. And again, I've got verses on all this stuff, but we're not going to spend time on all these. I just don't want to confuse the things. All right. Judgment number five is the judgment of the nations. This is the judgment on the Gentile nations. It's going to be at the second coming of Christ. It'll take place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And the basis of this judgment is their treatment of the Jews. How they treated the Jews. All right, that's the judgment that's going to take place. The punishment of some nations will be the result, and blessings of other nations will be the result. Judgment number six is the judgment of angels. It's the judgment of the fallen angels. That's going to take place at the great white throne judgment. That's the one that we get to be a part of, judging the angels. And it's going to take place in outer space. All right, judgment number seven is the great white throne judgment. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20. This is the judgment for unsaved people who have rejected Christ and died alone in the world without hope and without God. Sometimes people call it the general judgment. And like I said, amillennialists and postmillennial preachers, they all believe in a general resurrection and a general judgment for everybody. But by doing that, they're rejecting that Christ judged our sins on the cross, and that we have to judge ourselves here, and that we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, so those are seven different judgments that are found in the Bible, seven major judgments. And so this judgment seat of Christ is one of those seven that'll take place. And so as a child of God, we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of everything done in our body, whether good or bad. All right. And we're not waiting for the great white throne judgment. Amen. If you're being judged there, you're not saved. You're not saved. So if you're waiting on that judgment to see how things went, to see if you made it or not, that's a scary time. Because those folks are also going to be judged for their works, but their works are not good enough. The Bible said that your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So if you're waiting for the great white throne judgment and you're going to stand there and say, Lord, look at what all I've done, it's not good enough. It's going to be too late that day. But thankfully, I will be there, but I'm not going to be the one on trial. Amen. All right, so go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's begin to look at this thing of the judgment seat of Christ. We've got about 20 minutes here to get into it a little bit. And then over the next few weeks, we'll cover the different rewards that can be earned and the things at the judgment seat of Christ. So when we started off in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we looked there that we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And there's going to be some rewards. There's going to be some reprimanding that takes place. And it's a fearful thing. When we look at the judgment seat of Christ, it ought to be something that is looked at with reverence, and it's looked at with respect. Because the Bible said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. I'm telling you, that day is not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be, I guarantee everybody in this room is going to stand up there before the Lord and say, I wish I would have done more.
Right.
And God, why did I do some of those things? Why was some of the pleasures of this life so just temporary? All these things are so temporary. In eternity, when we're standing before God, we're going to realize that some of that stuff really didn't matter. And only what was done for Christ will last. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look with me in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And then the very next verse, which I'm not going to deal with today, but know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He reminds them that you are the temple of God. The day you got saved, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is His. I know I butchered that verse there, but you know what I'm talking about. So He reminds them that the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of you. All right. So Jesus Christ, we find there in verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Everything we do for God that counts as anything has to be done by letting Jesus Christ do it through us. Everything. If we want God to be pleased with our life, we have to do it through Christ. If we're going to find out what pleases Him, we're going to do it through this book and through Him. He has to be the foundation of everything that we do. If we're going to make it, that's exactly what has to happen. Look with me. Hold your place there, but look at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. There's many Christians, or so-called Christians. I like how Brother Stephen worded it, either a saved sinner or a Christian. Dr. Ruckman said there's no such thing as a backslidden Christian. Amen. You're either backslidden or you're a Christian. Amen. There's no such thing as a backslidden Christian. Mm-hmm. And so saved sinners often forget that one day we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. And this thing's becoming more real every day as we see how things are developing. There was more earthquakes that took place where in Alaska last week. I mean, these things are starting to pick up and they're magnifying. I know we've always had storms and things, but they seem to be increasing. And all these are signs of the return of Christ and the sign of going into that great tribulation. And we'll be raptured out before that. All right. So Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13. The Bible says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So would it be safe to say that if God is not working in you, that more than likely you're not obeying His will and pleasing Him? Would that be safe to say? So if you're not spending time in your Bible every day, and you're not faithful to church, and you're not faithful to allow God to work through you, it's safe to say that you're probably not in the will of God, and you're probably not pleasing Him. You say, well, this one thing I did, well, maybe you found it on accident. Amen. And because you brought it up, you got your reward and you lost out on it. Amen. So God has to be the foundation. We see that there when we're dealing with the subject of the judgment seat of Christ, that Christ has to be the foundation of everything that we do. In that day, we'll declare whether or not He was. If you did things to please yourself and you did things with Christ not being the foundation and not trying to please Him and not trying to do His will be revealed that day. To us, you can come in and make it look like you're trying to do, like you're just trying to magnify Christ. But God does know your heart. We mentioned that a minute ago. It will be revealed that day what your motives were. Amen. And there's a lot of pastors, I believe, will get up one day and, man, it looked like they were this great man of God that did all these wonderful things for God, and come to find out it was for filthy lucre. Amen. Or come to find out it was for fame. Amen. Or come to find out it was for popularity. They said all the right things. They did what seemed to be all the right things. But they wanted some kind of pleasure for themselves down here on this earth. And that day will reveal it. And I tell you, it's nice to hear good job, but I would much rather hear our Savior say, well done, amen, thou good and faithful servant. But He has to be the foundation for everything that we do. If you go back, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. The judgment seat of Christ. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Persuade them to what? Persuade them to live for God, to get right, to do right. Matthew chapter number 6. Aren't you thankful though that the things that God asks us to do, there are blessings down here that we can receive for doing those things? We don't have to wait for that day to get all the blessings and rewards. God will give us some down here. You know, a lost person, if they would just follow the Bible, the morals that are found in the Bible, they'll have a much better life. I mean, they'll have a good life for the most part, but they'll die and go to hell. There are some lost people that live more scripturally than some most saved people. And some saved people, they have liberty in Christ, is what they say. So they're going to live and do whatever they want to do. And there's some lost people that have more convictions and more morals than some saved people do. But sadly, that they're counting on those, and they're going to end up being at that great white throne judgment, and they're going to die and go to hell because that's what they're counting on. I'm thankful I'm counting on the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. On the promises of God's Word, a faith that He gave me placed in Him on the cross. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The gold, silver, and precious stones in verse number 12 of our text verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 are literal treasures that can be laid up in heaven. Those are literal treasures that can be laid up. We found right there in Matthew where he talks about those treasures that are laid up in heaven. He says, for where your heart is, let me read it again so I don't mess it up. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've heard a preacher say one time, give me your checkbook and I'll tell you where your heart is.
Yeah.
Amen. If you looked at mine, it would probably be the church in Walmart. Amen. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And so we ought to lay up treasures in heaven. So the gold, silver, and precious stones that we read about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that are going to be tried by fire, those are physical, literal treasures that are going to be laid up in heaven that will be tested. And we see that. All right. Verse 13, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You should have maybe held your place there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 13. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. All right, so verse 13 tells us that the things in verse 12 represent our works. The things in verse 13 tell us that the things in verse 12, they represent our works. All right. The gold, silver, precious stones represent good works. That's the ones that God accepts. The wood, the hay, the stubble represents bad works. Those are the ones that God will not accept. Those last three things that are mentioned there, the wood, hay, and stubble, those are all dead things.
Somebody trying to put on a good face, but then not necessarily having the right heart, so it's a wood hay.
Yeah, all that's going to burn up. All that's going to be represented by that wood, hay, and stubble. Wood is dead, a dead tree. Hay is dead grass, and stubble is dead wheat. All those things are just dead. All right. So these things represent our dead works. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. If I'm going too fast or need to slow down, let me know. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. And to answer your question, David, dead works are works that are done through the flesh. Anything that's done through the flesh. Why? After you're saved, what is your flesh considered to God?
Dead.
After you get saved, Paul said he reckoned himself dead. What does that mean? The old man. Anything you do in this old man to please yourself, or you do it with the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, all those things you just mentioned, is dead. To God, that's just dead works. All right, look here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God purge your conscience from what?
Dead works.
Dead works to serve the living God. Everything you do in your flesh is dead works. That's why Christ has to be the foundation of everything we do. He has to be the motive of everything that we do. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we got saved, God killed our flesh. And we already looked at a lot of these verses, but Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 through Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, you can go look those up sometime. When we got saved, God killed our flesh. And so any work done that exalts ourself instead of Christ is dead works. And that's represented by wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. The right kind of works will lay up gold, silver, and precious stones. The wrong kind of works will lay up wood, hay, and stubble. So what would no works lay up?
Nothing.
Nothing. Good job. Brother Bowen, they're doing good answering questions today. We'll lay up absolutely nothing. Just like Elijah saw that supernatural fire fall from heaven, we're going to see a supernatural fire come across all of our works, everything that we've done, whether good or bad in our body. Has anybody ever had to watch something burn down that meant something to them? I don't know if you have or not. I hope not. I mean, I hope you never had to watch a house burn down or watch something go up in flames that you worked hard on. Amen. We burn about probably $10,000 worth of wood out here the other day. I shed a tear over it because of how expensive wood is. But if you've ever had to do that, I've seen you know, pictures or maybe videos of somebody watching their house burn, and they're sitting there just crying because that's their life's work. Just lose absolutely everything watching it burn up. And can you imagine that day when you're standing there? And everything you've done in your life since salvation. And if I don't know how long you've been saved that are in here today, but I got saved when I was 9 years old. And I'm 30. I'll be 36 this year. I can't do the math on that quickly, but that's a long time. Some of y'all have been saved a lot longer than that. Amen. And you're going to stand there one day. And wouldn't it be a horrifying thing to watch God, who is a consuming fire, the Bible tells us, God's a consuming fire, to sit there and watch supernaturally this thing, all of our life's work, just sit there and burn up. Man, isn't that going to be a scary time? I don't know about you, but it is for me. I'm not scared about going to hell. I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going there, but I will have to face that one day. And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it because we're so blessed down here, and God has been good to us. And man, we got a good church and a family, and maybe said, man, things are going really well. And we in our carnal mind, we just think about that day, that judgment seat of Christ, of I'm just gonna go and get it over with. And I tell you, it will be a relief when it's over. But man, I don't know, that the more I think about it, the more I think about how precious the Lord is and how good He's been to me, the more it breaks my heart that I will have to stand there this day.
Amen.
And to watch everything in your life go up in flames. And sadly, a lot of saved sinners are going to stand up there and it's all going to go up. They're going to have absolutely nothing to show. You know, you would pray and hope that you'd have some stuff that will last that you could give to Christ. You say, well, man, up to this point, I don't know how much is going to last. Most of my life was spent on pleasing me. Most of my life was pleased on entertainment. Most of my life was pleased. Most of my family life evolved around entertainment and pleasures of the flesh and all those kind of things. You say, what do? You get up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And from today until the day you die or we go up in the clouds, serve Him. Amen.
Amen.
Serve Him. Thankfully, back in our text verse, if you're still there, look with me in verse number 13. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of how much it is. Is that what it says? Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
So, man, look at this guy. Look at all he did for the Lord. And God's like, I don't care about how much he did. I want to know what sort it was.
Amen.
So you say, what are you saying? I'm saying there's hope for you because you're still alive and you're breathing.
Amen.
That means leave today and say, going forward, I'm going to give it to Him.
Amen.
He's going to be the foundation of it. I want to please Him. I want to be in His will. And then it might be a short time before we get out of here, but that short time, the Lord will say, look at what sort it was. Amen.
Amen.
And so I'm thankful that we have hope.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? We still have a few minutes. I know some of this stuff is hard to swallow, but it's the truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Just because we ignore what the Bible said doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. This stuff is real. Anybody have any questions? I don't want to confuse anybody. And I didn't mean to confuse anybody by the seven judgments in the beginning, but I never mentioned that when we started all this. But I don't want that to be confused. This to be confused with those other judgments. These are separate judgments.
Yep.
And I've got verses to go over every one of those, and I can do it sometime to show how they're distinct, separate judgments that's going to take place. There's seven different judgments. And we don't need to confuse the great white throne judgment with the judgment seat of Christ or with the judgment on Calvary. It's not all one blended judgment. They're separate ones. And you should be thankful for that God's given us mercy. That, amen. All right, we'll stop there. And get ready for our morning service. Brother Steve, would you pray and ask the Lord to bless the morning service?